we saw that, you know, fertilizer reduced from 206 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare whole farm in 2020 to about 156 kilos in 2023. However, this came alongside, you know, reduced herbage grown, and it went from 13.77, which was, you know, in and around the 14 ton target in 2021, to about 12.95 in 2023. So I suppose this kind of came because farmers might have got a bit overly confident reducing chemical fertilizer too fast. So as I was saying, we're down to 150 kilos, but to have that rate, you'd need 80 to 100% of your farm in clover, with an average content of 20% clover across the year. But we've only seen, you know, 65% of the farm at that clover level.
Hello, I'm James Dunn, and you're welcome to The Dairy Edge, the Chagas Dairy Podcast. We're bringing you the latest information, insights, and opinion to improve dairy farm performance. Chagas had scheduled to run a series of spring clover events from the 3rd to the 17th of April. In recognition of the difficult conditions currently experienced at farm level, these events have been tailored to include advice on how to best get your farm back on track from a grazing, nutrient management, and animal performance perspective. Clover incorporation shall also be included in these events, and I'm joined by Grass 10 advisor Joseph Dunphy and Chagas Grassland researcher Caitlin Looney to give some insight into incorporating white clover on our grassland swards over the coming months.
So I suppose, James, look, at recent changes to the European and Irish government policy, you know, they've placed a greater emphasis on reducing chemical N use at a farm level to improve the environmental sustainability of Irish dairying, but also Irish agriculture as a whole. And I suppose up to now, James, like, you know, I suppose perennial ryegrass, it was quite simple. We put the nitrogen on and we got grass growth. And where white clover can, you know, I suppose really add to this is offsetting that reduction in chemical N fertilizer that is anticipated, while crucially maintaining a level of pasture production on farm.
Joe, you've outlined in terms of, you know, one of the main benefits, obviously, in terms of that nitrogen fixation piece and maintaining growth rates at farm level. But I suppose in terms of that, what are we actually looking at in terms of the amount of nitrogen that a good grass clover sward can actually fix?
Yeah, so James, look, I suppose we're looking at that grass white clover sward can fix in the region of between 80 and 100 units of nitrogen per acre per year.
100%. And in terms of, with regards to, is that at a particular clover content? Look, you'll see variation, and we maybe come into that when we talk to Caitlin about the clover 150 experience, but what level of clover contents would we be looking at for that sort of level of nitrogen fixation?
And we will be looking at a clover content there, James, of in the region of around 20%.
Yeah, very good. Some of the other benefits we would have seen through the research over the last number of years in terms of that sward quality benefits, in terms of the area, in terms of increasing dry matter intakes, and ultimately having an impact on animal performance. Can you maybe just discuss that a little bit for our listeners?
Yeah, so James, a lot of the work over the last number of years at a couple of different Chagas sites have shown that there's increased dry matter intakes during the summer and in the autumn of between 0.5 kilo and 1 kilo of dry matter per cow per day, which is driving total milk solids production on the trials of between 20 and 40 kilos of milk solids per cow.
Very, very good. So obviously in terms of, we've those grassland benefits, but we've also those animal performance benefits. Caitlin, maybe to bring you in, and Caitlin, you've been involved in the Clover 150 commercial farm trial that has been running the last number of years. Can you explain to us a little bit in terms of what exactly did that trial entail?
Yeah, so hi James, hi Joe. So the Clover 150 on-farm programme basically started in 2020. So what we wanted to see was, you know, how the long-term research that Joe has mentioned there and the benefits that have, can they be carried across onto commercial farms? So around 30 farms across the country, you know, the different geographic spread, land types and farming enterprises were enrolled into the project. And the objectives of the programme were, you know, to still maintain that 14 tonnes of dry matter per hectare herbage production across the year, to do this while reducing chemical fertiliser, you know, to about 150 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, reduce the nitrogen surplus because of this. So your farm gate nitrogen surplus, if you're bringing less fertilizer, you know, there's a potential to reduce that down as well and get that down to around 130 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And all while increasing, you know, the clover content on farm. So as Joe mentioned, you know, 20% is kind of our target. So that's where we're hoping that all the clover area on farm would get to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose it was really in terms of bringing that research work out onto commercial farm level in terms of, as you say, right around the country, to see in terms of the success rate on commercial dairy farms. I suppose with that in mind, you know, how did the farmers set about establishing clover on the farms?
Yeah, so the farmers, you know, were starting off at kind of a base level of around, you know, 0 to 10% on their farms. So we have an establishment blueprint that's reseeding about 10% a year and oversowing between 15% and 20% per year. But that was hugely variable across farm. To you know, be reseeding those levels can be quite a challenge. Look, if you look at a year like this year, it might be difficult this year. And the oversowing as well, that's dependent on paddock selection. So, you know, soil fertility is hugely important for oversowing and the grazing management after. So you don't want to take on too much oversowing in the 1 year. So look, there was varied success on farms, but once the management was applied correctly with the reseeding and the oversowing, they were quite successful. So we've seen the area increase from around 10%, as I said, in 2020 to 65% now, average farm area on the clover on 50 farms.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of the clover contents over that period, in terms of how have they improved on farms over the period of the trial?
Yes, we've seen a 13% increase from 10% to 23% this year in 2023. And look, we're hoping they'll go up. Those increases came about because of, you know, improved grazing management and maybe targeted oversowing on those farms.
In terms of the other results then, in terms of we spoke, obviously in terms of the clover contents is important to get that nitrogen reduction. What have we seen in terms of the results, in terms of that grass grown and the fertilizer savings, in terms of how have they developed over time on the farms?
Yes, yeah, so we've been really happy with the reduction in fertilizer. So I suppose it was encouraging that farmers were confident to take on that fertilizer reduction. So we saw that, you know, fertilizer reduced from 206 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare whole farm in 2020 to about 156 kilos in 2023. However, this came alongside, you know, reduced herbage grown, and it went from 13.77, which was, you know, in and around the 14 ton target in 2021, to about 12.95 in 2023. So I suppose this kind of came because farmers might have got a bit overly confident reducing chemical fertilizer too fast. So as I was saying, we're down to 150 kilos, but to have that rate, you'd need 80 to 100% of your farm in clover with an average content of 20% clover across the year. But we've only seen, you know, 65% of the farm at that clover level.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point in terms of for listeners and across industry in terms of in the effect if ultimately if the clover isn't there, Caitlin, what you're saying is if we pull the nitrogen out of the system, we're going to obviously see a reduced rate of grass grown. So I suppose what is the message in terms of for the commercial farmers involved in this trial in terms of that nutrient management piece depending on the clover contents?
Yes, so what we would do, James, we'd go out and farm, you know, in April, and we would have taken, you know, clover contents across the farm. So there's a new nutrient management strategy, but what they would have followed is if you're at 15 to 20% clover in April, you know, you're able to reduce fertilizer confidently from the beginning of May and go to around about half of what you normally would have applied before to a grass-only sward from May to August. Some farmers totally pulled chemical fertilizer but replaced it with soil water. So about 2,000 gallons per acre of soil water is in and around the nitrogen that we'd be targeting to apply.
Okay, absolutely. And in terms of then the swards that maybe just aren't quite there, Caitlin, you mentioned it, like you went from 10% to 23%. So you said in terms of the possibility that some farmers maybe got overly confident and pulled the nitrogen a little too soon. So what would be the advice on those swards that maybe aren't quite there from a clover content perspective?
So I suppose to increase clover contents, James, on those paddocks that do have, you know, maybe a 5 to 10% clover content, you can, you know, practice maybe grazing management by targeting, you know, lower cover to graze, keeping that pre-grazing height below 1500 kilograms dry matter per hectare will really help the clover contents across the year, and making sure the soil fertility is correct, so making sure there's, you know, the P and K levels are index 3 and 4, and that soil fertility is around 6.3. And look, if it's not improving with the grazing management, it's definitely a paddock that you'd be targeting to oversow. If it's growing that grass for you, you know, if it's growing over 10 tons, they're the optimal paddocks to oversow.
Yeah, and is that really where the oversowing now at this stage? As you said, there's 65% of the farms with clover in at this stage. Is that where the oversowing really comes in there in terms of topping up those paddocks? Or how is that to be used going forward, I suppose?
So it will be seen as a mix. So I suppose the 5 to 10% clover kind of gives us confidence that that paddock can grow clover, and it might just need a top up of oversown seed. And then when you're selecting oversown paddocks, you know, maybe that don't have any clover in them, they do need to have that optimal soil fertility that we were talking about. And it needs to be done in April. So I suppose our highest success in oversowing has been seen in April, so that you're making the plan once you clover score. If it's not there, you know, 5-10%, but it is a paddock that you're targeting for clover, you can oversow it. And if you're picking a paddock that has no clover in it, that you're picking a paddock that, you know, you will be able to graze at those lower covers in the first year, and that you're, you know, you're happy that the soil fertility and there's no weed burden and it is growing the herbage that you need.
You've probably answered some of this already, or this next question, in terms of that, ultimately what you've said there. But you're scoring the paddocks on these farms. Some of them will have been more successful than others. Is there a couple of areas or do's or don'ts ultimately that have led to some paddocks being more successful than others?
Yeah, so I suppose the key areas that we'd see in terms of oversowing success, James, would be that the timing of the seed going in. So, you know, we're saying April, so you're not getting caught with dry spells in the summer. The selection of paddocks, not taking too many paddocks on. So, you know, the 10% to 15% is enough. You know, you're looking at targeting those paddocks to graze them at around 1,000 kilograms of nitrogen or kilograms of dry matter per hectare. So it's quite a fast rotation on those paddocks, so you need to be able to get to them to get the light to the clover plant. And then with reseeding, I suppose it's the, you know, picking about 2.5 kilograms of seed to the acre on those paddocks, you know, grazing it as you would a normal reseed, but making sure that you get that clover safe spray on about the 6 weeks after. And they're the biggest successes that we've seen with it, really.
Very good, as you say, in terms of maybe doing less, but ultimately doing better with regards to management around it, rather than biting off more than you can chew as such. Thanks, Caitlin. And maybe to bring yourself back in, Joe, you know, some very nice, some very successful results coming from those commercial farms around the country, and lots of other farmer listeners will have similar stories. But I suppose there is concerns, I suppose, from farmers around incorporating clover, I suppose, namely the establishment piece. Will it persist in their soil type? You know, is there additional grazing management practices required? And I suppose that one in terms of managing bloat risk. I suppose, what would you say regarding these concerns, Joe, to our farmer listeners?
Yeah, so James, like there is some concerns, you know, and Caitlin has alluded to, you know, some paddocks on farms, and then, you know, some farmers will be more successful at establishing and I suppose, you know, persisting with clover swards on their farm. But all farmers can do, I suppose, is follow best practice in that establishment phase, and do their best in trying to keep it in the paddocks. I suppose another point on it, if you're a good grassland manager in terms of grass measuring, going into pre-grazing yields at the right height, then you are going to be, I suppose, a good grass clover manager along the way. I suppose on the bloat issue there, James, there is certain times of the year where bloat can be more of a concern. You know, times maybe where there are higher clover contents, maybe lush grass and damp conditions, I suppose. But there is a good guidelines that have come out over the last couple of years there in terms of dealing with that. So it's very, very important that farmers, you know, find those guidelines and put them into practice on their farms.
Yeah, so really it's around, I suppose, it's the correct management in terms of ensuring the best success is ultimately what you're saying there, Joe. And as you say, in terms of there's guidelines available in terms of that in that early stage in terms of incorporating the clover, but also in terms of managing, and as you say, managing risk throughout the season. So I think it's important that our listeners ultimately take those on board. One that is, and often it's a little bit like breeding and genetics. I think clover is going to be no different ultimately. I suppose it's important, Joe, to highlight that, you know, it's a long-term process at commercial farm level, and maybe lots of technologies ultimately are. But I suppose what sort of time frame are we looking at for the people that are starting out on this?
Yeah, so James, it's very important to highlight to your listeners that this isn't, a one-year plan. It's not about going out now this April and tackling into trying to get clover on your farm, and then maybe later on in the year being disappointed because you took on too much and you weren't able to follow the correct management. This is a five-year minimum program for your farm, and it's going to be made up, as Caitlin says, on a certain amount of reseeding per year, ideally 10%, and you know, and a certain amount of oversown on your farm, and that can be variable from maybe it's one paddock, or it could be 10 to 15% depending on the stocking rate on your farm, depending on, you know, trafficability, other conditions now during April and May. So it can be very variable. The key message there is that it's a long-term plan for your farm. Like, there may just say this spring, we know it's been a very poor spring so far. Maybe in the next couple of weeks, not as much reseeding is going to be done, but maybe a paddock or two has been damaged, and this might be an ideal opportunity to oversow a couple of these paddocks if they, you know, as Caitlin talked about, if there's a low weed burden and, you know, they've been recently reseeded in the last few years. So it's about maybe taking opportunities and chances when they come up with clover.
Yes, and I suppose another one that often comes up, you know, is it possible to get a farm fully transitioned over onto a kind of 100% grass clover? And, you know, do we need that, I suppose, to be successful at farm level with regards to this?
Jim, no, there's not. And I suppose it's can you get a good proportion of your farm to a good level of clover? Like, we're still going to have nitrogen there in the background in our inventories, James, for paddocks that may be over. Maybe there's heavy, you know, quite wet paddocks on your farm that, you know, that won't be suitable for clover. You know, these sort of paddocks will stay as grass onlys. Maybe there's paddocks that don't establish as well, you know. So there's, you know, it's not about getting clover into every paddock on the farm. It's about, as Caitlin said, it's about the bigger picture is, can we get a good proportion of our farm with grass clover swards to reduce the levels of N inputs that are coming in the farm gate?
Yeah, and that's, as you said, Joe, that ultimately that's probably going to differ for every farm. But the thing that stuck out to me there, what you were saying, is it's probably about having a plan for your individual farm as such, over the next kind of 5 to 7 years. I suppose maybe to come back to yourself, Caitlin, and on the final point I wanted to cover, and some of it's been covered already, but maybe just to tie it all together in terms of, you know, for farmers starting out on that clover journey, you know, what's the blueprint? What's the advice with regards to that in terms of how they might go about that over the next 12 to 24 months?
Yeah, so I suppose, James, as we mentioned earlier, soil fertility is the key really to establishing clover on farm. So I suppose you're making your blueprint specific to your own farm. So in that first 12 months, you know, you're picking paddocks to oversow that have the correct soil fertility. If you're reseeding and oversowing, you know that you will be able to graze those paddocks consistently for those first few grazings. They'll be the key 2 points to get clover to establish. And I suppose with your reseed, it's making sure that you're getting in with your clover safe spray at 6 weeks. They're kind of the three most important points in terms of oversowing and reseeding. And then lastly, you know, time frame of your oversowing is hugely important. So look, you need to be making kind of decisions now in April whether you're going to oversow those paddocks or not.
That's it for this week's episode of the Dairy Edge podcast. My thanks to Caitlin Looney and Joseph Dunphy for joining me on this week's show. please check out the Chagas website for these upcoming spring grassland management events in your own area, where, as I said earlier, they shall cover off in terms of how to manage the current conditions and how to get your farm back on track, while also having a conversation around the incorporation of white clover on our farms. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You can listen on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. For more information, go to the Chagas website at chagas.ie. I'm James Dunn, and join us next time for your Dairy Edge.